Welcome to the Edward Woodson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth, brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. I am going to give you your fair share of the truth today because you're entitled to it. All right. We've got, in the wake of this Charleston, this tragic, horrible shooting in Charleston, perpetrated by a evil individual. There are two narratives that are emerging in the media. That we live in a racist country. And of course, that we need, quote unquote, common sense gun control. The bodies weren't even cold before the president came out immediately and talked about how we needed gun control. Because, God forbid you not take advantage of a situation and a crisis and use it for political gain. But, well, let me play this for you. This was, On MSNBC, of course, Melissa Harris Perry show. This is a professor from Princeton. Is that correct, Steve? Princeton professor? Yes. Let me just play this clip for you real quick.
I was going to say that lone wolf narrative, the reason why it bothers me is that, of course, within, 12 or 24 hours, they've interviewed his friends, his neighbors, his family members. So he's not a lone wolf. Yeah. He is situated in a community, and a community is in part connected to the heinous act. We can't dismiss this as an anomaly or an aberration. I even don't like when we say this was a senseless crime. Actually, it makes perfect sense, right? Racism in this country is as ubiquitous as rain. And so it actually makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying this is a lone wolf or this is someone who we just can't imagine, well, he told us why he did what he did. And he told us who he hated. And he told us why. And so we have to take that seriously so we stop thinking that, oh, this is just an individual and it won't happen again. It happens with a great degree of regularity. It's broken. Our systems are broken. Our institutions and our structures are racist. And until we address that, we're going to continue to have these conversations.
Wow. Our system is broken. Our institution is are racist. If you listen to that, you would think that we are living in the...
It's the community's fault.
It's the community's fault. It's not the individual. Now, I just want to address this because, again, if we lived in a racist country, would the reaction be what it is? Because I don't know anyone who is not appalled by what happened, whether you're on the left or you're on the right. Everyone has condemned what this evil psychopath did. And as a country, we have condemned it. I don't know anyone that has it. And if we were a racist country, wouldn't we just shrug? And wouldn't we just would people be so appalled by this if we were a racist country? I don't see, and this is an aberration. Could be because she says it's not an aberration.
According to her, it happens all the time.
happens all the time. It would seem as though there are just tons of white people running around. There was this video that was posted online by Paul Joseph Watson. I want you to listen to this real quick.
Leftists pounced on the Charleston shooting before the bodies were even cold to push their twin agenda of gun control and racial division. Liberals are hastily exploiting this tragic incident to fabricate the myth that there are armies of white people waiting to commit violent hate crimes against blacks. They're even advocating that only white people be disarmed, an inverse of early racist gun control laws which targeted black people. The reality is somewhat different. Here's what they're not telling you. There's no wave of hate crimes being committed by whites against black people. Justice Department figures show that black people comprise 13% of hate crime victims, a figure in line with their population numbers. White people, on the other hand, comprise 65% of hate crime victims. And from 2003 to 2006, black people comprise just 7% of hate crime victims. Black people are responsible for half of all homicides within the United States, despite making up only 13% of the population. Department of Justice statistics show that between 1980 and 2008, blacks committed 52% of homicides compared to 45% of homicides committed by whites. There's clearly a problem of violent criminality within the black community, but hardly anyone is talking about it. Despite being outnumbered by whites 5-1, blacks commit 8 times more crimes against whites than vice versa, according to FBI statistics. A black male is 40 times more likely to assault a white person than the reverse. Incidents involving hate crimes, including murders, where the perpetrator is black and the victim is white, are almost universally ignored by the mainstream media. For years, the phenomenon of overwhelmingly black people randomly attacking white people on the street was disguised by the press, calling it the knockout game, when in reality it represented a disturbing wave of violent black-on-white hate crime. And once again, we're seeing this dumb argument made by liberals who claim that the Charleston shooting isn't being called an act of terrorism simply because the perpetrator is white. They seem to be incapable of visiting dictionary.com and finding out that terrorism means to use violence to coerce for political purposes, particularly targeting institutions of government. Newsflash! When white guys commit acts of terror, which are politically motivated, they are labeled terrorists. Bill Ayers, Ted Kaczynski, Timothy McVeigh, Eric Robert Rudolph. They were all denounced as terrorists. When Ishmael Abdullah Brinsley shot 2 NYPD cops in the head last December in a Black Lives Matter revenge attack, which was clearly politically motivated, he wasn't called a terrorist. So by that benchmark, neither should the Charleston shooter. Many on the left even demanded that the German wing suicide pilot be labeled a terrorist simply because he was white, when that incident had zero political motivation whatsoever. Same thing with the Chapel Hill shooting. Just like the NYPD shooting, racial division, fueled by the Black Lives Matter movement, in coordination with the Obama Justice Department on one side, and white supremacists on the other side, who hide behind racism to ignore the very real problem of police brutality, meant that the Charleston shooting was all too predictable. Should law-abiding blacks be made to feel guilty for disproportionately high black homicide rates? No, but by the same token, law-abiding whites should not be figuratively put on trial and pressured to atone for their white guilt.
Again, he puts it pretty succinctly. Paul Joseph Watson in this video lays out the statistics. And, we never talk about that. For some reason, the president never talks about, black-on-black crime. But I guess that doesn't fit, again, the narrative that the United States is a racist country And I'm sorry, I just don't see that the United States is a racist country. Look at South Carolina, for instance, where this happened. You've got a an Indian woman who is the governor. You've got Tim Scott, who is the first black senator since Reconstruction. So I don't understand this narrative that continues to be foisted upon us by the left. We've got Ellen Ratner from Talk Radio News.
What are you saying about the left?
This narrative that has been emerging about how the United States is a racist country, it's not, because I think, I don't know anybody that's not outraged by the actions of this individual in the shooting in Charleston.
Well, I just have to tell you that it is totally outrageous, and it works the opposite of exactly what the shooter wanted to happen. People came together.
I agree.
The shooter doesn't understand that we've actually progressed in this country.
I agree, Ellen. I think you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%, and that's really what I'm saying here, is that I think that's true. I think that people are outraged by what happened, both on the left and on the right, and you're right, and it has brought us together. And I think one of the most amazing things about this is the level of forgiveness on the part of the people in Charleston, that it really has. You haven't seen protests. You haven't seen, in fact, like you say, it's been the opposite. You've got people that have come together by and large to condemn it, and really, you know, I've been moved by the people of the community, i.e. the church. It's really something to see, right?
Absolutely. And that has been, you can tell from what has happened with this church how very close and how really these people, I mean, for them to come in front of the killer and say, "I forgive you,"
wow.
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I was struck by that as well, Alan. It was, I've never seen anything like it in my life. And that's a true, just forgiveness on the part of the, again, the victims that experienced this. And I was really moved by that. I got to tell you, I don't think I could have done it either, Ellen. I don't think I could have forgiven that easily. And the fact that they brought, you know, that they welcomed him. I mean, this guy's a true evil psychopath. And to say that we haven't progressed, I think is false. I think we have progressed, absolutely, as a country. And I think the United States is probably the least racist place on the face of the earth. And you know this from traveling all over the world.
Well, actually, I'm not sure I totally agree. I mean, I think that some of the Norwegian countries, Norway, Sweden, et cetera, have been very good about these issues. Now, do they have as many minorities as we do? Probably
no,
not.
There's no black people.
But the United States does have some way to go. I'm not going to say
do.
It doesn't.
We all
I'm
do,
just
don't
saying we have done some amazing things.
No, we all do. I mean, does racism exist? Absolutely. There's always going to be racism. There's always going to be people that are malcontents. There's always going to be hatred and evil in the world. Unfortunately, and you're not going to live in a utopian society where it doesn't exist, right?
Exactly.
So I just think that that we have come a long way, and I for one am, you know, I feel that that's really what we should be concentrating on, like what you say, because I think if we concentrate on the negative and not on the positive, we play into what this guy wanted. You know, he wanted to, start a race war, like, you know, kind of like Charles Manson, Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, the guy that wrote Helter Skelter just died, I think, last week.
Vincent Bugliosi.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that was the largest selling book ever? Did you know
that? Really?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Know that. I guess non-fiction. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Best-selling non-fiction book ever, Vincent Bugliosi. Yeah, but you know, that just to think you were going to spark a race riot. I think it's the opposite. I think he's actually sparked a conversation of how we're really not like that. We're not like that as a country. So that's kind of that was really my point. And once again, Ellen, we agree. Thank you so much for coming.
Scary.
It is scary. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
Ellen. All right, we'll be right back.
To state the obvious, the past 6 years have been really, really hard for this country.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Aw, you know kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage. All kids
make a big deal of it.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless.
When it comes to bullying, don't validate, eliminate. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools. I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. It's up to us as educators, as parents, as adults, to stand up on behalf of bullied kids. It's caring adults that can stop bullying, fix it, and prevent it. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. That's nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the National Education Association.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Get it hard. Will it hard.
The horror is the horror. I confess I'm a little confused about how much to generalize. We have a race problem in this country. That is so obvious. But we also have an angry, solitary young man problem. And I'm not sure a lot of the angry, solitary young men are directly connected. They're obviously loosely connected to the history of race in this country. But they're angry, solitary young men looking for hateful and vicious ideologies. Some of them turn into neo-Nazi skinheads. I don't think we have a Nazi problem in this country. They are solitary, and they're hate mongers, and they, you know, the guy sits with a Bible study group for an hour and then starts shooting them. That's beyond imagination. And so it's obviously connected, but I'm a little wary of the two pat causations that are linked between our general race problem and this specific completely bizarre and completely evil incident.
That was David Brooks, the resident conservative from the New York Times. I actually agree with him on this point. I don't think we have a racism problem in this country. Does racism exist? Of course it does. But just the fact, this is what struck me, just the fact that this guy would sit there for an hour, and David Brooks alluded to that. He sits there for an hour hanging out with these people in the Bible study. and then gets up and shoots them. Who does that? You got to be a completely deranged individual to do that. And you know that one of the points I want to make is that he actually, in interviews, said that he almost didn't do it because they were so nice to him. And you saw like how they came out and they forgave him. I mean, again, you have to be a complete psychopath and evil. This is, you know what this is? This is, you're always going to have evil in the world. I mean, look at what's happening in the Middle East. People are getting their heads chopped off because of their religious beliefs. People are getting burned alive. Women are being raped, used as slaves, concubines. That is evil. There's evil everywhere in the world. And we've experienced evil throughout history. So the president gave an interview with comedian Mark Maron. I've never heard of this guy. I guess he does a podcast. He said, racism, we are not cured of it. It's not just a matter of it not being polite to say the N-word in public. And he went there and he used the word. It's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200 or 300 years ago. So, you know, the president went there. And so when the president, you know, you see all these issues with police brutality, and when the president talks about the Trayvon Martin case and all these things, you know, people take their cues from their leaders, and he influences so much, and I think he could influence so much more if he talked about personal responsibility, for instance, about, mentoring, and about the fact that there are so many families that don't have fathers. I think that's a bigger problem in America than racism. I think it's, 70, some ridiculous statistic, 74% of all black children are fatherless or something like that, out of wedlock for the last however many years. That's an amazing statistic. You know, why don't we talk about that? Or, again, about black-on-black crime going on in Chicago. Or any other major city in America. So another theme that we're going to hear now is the need for gun control. Okay? The president in this same interview said, I will tell you, right after Sandy Hook, Newtown, when 26-year-olds were gunned down and Congress literally does nothing. Yes, that's the closest thing I came to feeling disgusted. I was pretty disgusted. And Hillary Clinton, of course, called for common sense gun control. She says that we need common sense gun reforms and a national reckoning with the persistent problem of institutional racism. See, these are going to go hand in hand. You're going to hear about this for the next few days. Okay? She said, the politics on this issue have been poisoned, but we can't give up. The stakes are too high. The costs are too dear, is what she said. The president blamed the continued national political inaction on the issue on the influence of the National Rifle Association. National Rifle Association. National Rifle Association, the NRA, that's an organization of law-abiding citizens that are registered gun owners. I don't think that people that are going to commit crimes are going to register their guns. This is what I don't understand. And liberals will call for gun control, okay? But the fact of the matter is that you can put all the gun control national registries in place all you want. And I have heard in the last few days that we need to limit the semi-automatic weapons and assault rifles, for instance. This guy used a handgun. And he had been charged with a felony. He wasn't allowed to buy a gun. His father bought him a gun. There was a straw purchase there. So he wasn't allowed to buy a gun. But he got around it. You see, human beings can always get around things. Anytime they want. Because if you want, you can get a gun. You can always get a gun. You look at other countries that have very strict gun laws. I mean, let's just look at Chicago. Chicago and Washington, D.C., have some of the tightest restrictions on guns. And, you know, every time this happens, we go over and over this ad nauseum. Because immediately the left says, well, we need to have gun control. And we have gun control. But it's not going to matter. It's not, you know, if you want a gun, you can always buy a gun. And criminals are not going to register guns. Because they're criminals. Okay? That's what they do. Hillary Clinton went on to say, in addition to this gun control thing, let me tack back here to the race thing. She called race a deep fault line in America. She said the problem of racism is not limited to kooks and Klansmen, but include the offhand, off-color joke. Whites scared of young black men and not speaking up against poverty and discrimination. We can't hide from any of these hard truths about race and justice in America. We have to name them and own them and change them. Again, I don't think that's a major issue in this country. You even have Ellen Ratner. I mean, it doesn't get more liberal than Ellen Ratner, right? And what did she just say? She said that we've progressed and she doesn't think that that's a major problem in this country. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And in terms of common sense gun control, what exactly are we supposed to do? You want to go after law-abiding citizens that already register guns? They always talk about the NRA.
Well, they won't be satisfied until all guns are confiscated. That's what they're after.
But you're never going to confiscate guns. You're never going to do that. How are you going to do that?
I'm just saying that's the bottom line agenda.
But how are you going to do that? It's impossible to do that. I mean, again, look at this guy. This guy legally could not purchase a gun, yet he had a gun. And he didn't have an assault rifle. He had a handgun. He walked in with a handgun that allegedly his father had purchased for him. So I don't understand this, again, this narrative from the left. But, you know, it always happens in these situations. We'll be right back.
Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Beginnings, what keeps the planet spinning?
Since 1980, Information Methods Incorporated has been a leader in technology consulting. The management experience of IMI's prime consultants and associates includes years of expertise in both public and private sectors. From assigning a project management officer to a complete end-of-project postmortem, IMI applies industry standards and our own custom methodologies to ensure your next technology project is a success. For details and example solutions, visit www.imi-us.com.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. In South Carolina, funerals being planned this Monday for the 9 black men and women murdered by a white man inside their church during Bible study. This as a report surfaces the killer, Dylan Roof, attempts to shoot himself but runs out of bullets. One of the witnesses says he points the gun at his head and pulls the trigger, but the only sound? Click. As the chamber empty. To pay their respects, blacks and whites walking across the most famous bridge in Charleston carrying American flags in a sign of unity.
Amen. The sound of marchers singing as they cross the Ravenel Bridge, participants taking part in a unity chain walking across the bridge in pairs and holding hands, stretching over the Cooper River from Charleston to Mount Pleasant. Greg Moore, The Blaze News.
Lots of debate now over whether to remove the Confederate flag in South Carolina. The Blaze Radio's Joe Gomez with reaction from Republicans and a Democrat, a guest on NBC's Meet the Press.
On NBC's Meet the Press, Congressman James Clyburn says the flag emboldens racists and racial violence.
That's a battle flag that flies in front of the State House. That is a flag of rebellion.
The South Carolina Democrat hopes lawmakers will agree to take the flag down. Currently, two-thirds of the legislature would have to agree to lower the flag. President Obama says the Confederate flag belongs in a museum, and so does 2016 GOP presidential hopeful Jeb Bush. Those who defend the Confederate flag say it represents Southern heritage and has nothing to do with race. Joe Gomez, The Blaze News.
A shift in the search. 17 days after two killers in upstate New York break out of prison, DNA evidence reportedly found 25 miles away at a camp north of the facility in the town of Owl's Head. Earlier, a location more than 300 miles to the south in the town of Friendship searched. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio. Slight drop in temperatures in the forecast today. The excessive heat warnings of the past week on hold for now.
We're going to be looking at temperatures that are probably going to be approaching 110 degrees again, which is just probably a couple degrees shy of our excessive heat warning threshold.
Valerie Myers with the National Weather Service. High country with temperatures back in the 80s and a slight chance for afternoon storms. A suspect who triggered a bunch of car accidents in Tucson as he tried to escape capture by police has been released from the hospital and arrested. Donald Terry allegedly ramming his truck into a patrol car and eight other vehicles.
The suspect, the driver of the vehicle that the police had initially been looking for, has been identified as 30-year-old Donald Terry. He was released from the hospital, and he was subsequently booked into the Pima County Jail.
Three officers shot at Terry after he tried to run the cops over. Four people hurt, one seriously. D-backs over the Padres at Chase Field, 7-2. Geico weather, that slight cool off today before things warm up again. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of Unbound. You're going to find some delays this morning. Eastbound I-10, 59th Avenue into the tunnel. Same thing can be said. Southbound I-17 between Northern and Camelback. Look for a vehicle on fire. Chandler Boulevard west of the 101. We have an accident. Greenway Road at 35th Avenue. Mothers around the world have the power to lift their families out of poverty. They just need a little help. Make the difference in the life of a family today at unbound.org. That's unbound.org.
From the KFNX WeatherBug Weather Center. We get some sunshine back Monday. Keep it hot, high up to 109. Tuesday, some sunshine, 112. I'm Dave Merce from the KFNX WeatherBug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, clear skies, 87 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more from the Edward Woodson Show. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
Monday morning, you shoulder fight.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson, on 880 AM, The Biz.
Republican presidential candidates continued to struggle Sunday over how to respond to last week's mass shooting of 9 black parishioners at a historic Charleston, South Carolina church, particularly over the issue of whether the state should remove the Confederate battle flag from its capital. Of course, this issue has come up now. The Confederate flag and whether or not it should be removed. But here's what I would say when baited by this question. Democrats that are complaining about the Confederate flag being a symbol of slavery will still vote for the party that fought and died under the same flag to keep slavery. Hello. To discuss this, we have Mike Opelka from The Blaze. Mike, how are you?
Edward, good morning. Happy Monday. And, wow, what a weekend, huh?
Crazy, crazy, crazy. But we live in crazy town. But
we do, but, you know, there were some great examples of humanity and redemption at that church and in Charleston, South Carolina over the weekend.
I agree. It's really amazing. And earlier I had on Ellen Ratner. And one of the themes, of course, that has emerged from a lot of those on the left is that we live in a racist country. Ellen said something interesting, and I agreed with her, and she said no. She said it's quite the opposite. What this has shown is that we have all come together, and this has had the opposite effect of what the shooter had intended.
That's true. But on the subject of the Confederate flag, what would you say the media's reaction would be to a candidate who, in an interview with the editorial board of the Des Moines Register, said, I still want to be the candidate for guys with Confederate flags in their pickup trucks?
And that would be Bill Clinton?
No. Who? No. There were reportedly Clinton Gore Confederate flag swag back in the day, but that was back in the 90s. This was in the 2000s. This was in this century.
Was that Mr. Obama?
No, it was not Barack Obama. I really would be surprised if he had said that.
Okay,
I'll flip over all the cards, but this statement, which I'm in the process of verifying 100%, but I'm pretty solid on it, was Howard Dean.
Ah, Howard Dean.
So Mr. Dean, who's currently a commentator at MSNBC and, still an elder statesman in the community, has been given the status of uber liberal, but he back in the day may have made this comment in his efforts to become presidential nominee.
Well, they'll say and do anything. But what of what I just said, i.e. about the Confederate flag being the symbol of slavery, and many blacks still vote for the Democrat Party, that was essentially, I'm sorry, it was the Klan's party. It was. I mean, it came about to keep blacks from voting. And up until
sure, but that's an inconvenient memory in the minds of many people in the process here. And that
exactly.
Just because it's true doesn't mean people are going to let you say it. It's a frightening thing. But was it this weekend we had the anniversary of the 1964, the Civil Rights Act, which passed the Senate after an 83-day filibuster led by Robert Byrd, Democrat.
Democrat and former Klan member.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's a deep history that ties the Democrats to racism, and it became politically expedient to pull the black vote or to isolate the black vote and attempt to make it their own. And they were successful in that. But I think it's unfair and disingenuous to focus this discussion on what people did 100 years ago or even 60 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I think we need to talk about what's going on with that flag. I actually give Romney credit. I think Romney had the right angle on this. Take it down. But it requires a two-thirds majority of both houses to vote to even move the flag, to even lower it to half staff, because it's currently at full position. It's not even at half staff after the tragedy. And you're going to have the state representative and pastor lying in state at the Capitol till Friday. So I think out of respect and out of a sense of I think Obama's right on this. And Obama even tweeted to Mitt, good tweet. So I would fall on the side of, hey, take it down, guys. It's really offensive to people who are not causing trouble and saying, hey, this is offensive, take care of it. What's the harm in it?
Look, I agree with you. I've got no affinity to the Confederate flag at all. But I think it's interesting that it becomes this gotcha question and that everyone is so afraid. You know, you had, of course, Mike Huckabee. You had, you know, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. I mean,
This is the gotcha question after the gay marriage question, after the abortion question, and what's the next one? This is the litmus test. And the litmus test is going to be very interesting when it comes up to Hillary or Sanders or O'Malley or Chafee when those finally come around.
Well, they don't ask them the question. They don't get asked the question, the gotcha questions. They never do. But I just think that, I think you should just throw it back at them. And then, look, to say that, well, it's up to the states and, you know, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to answer the question. It's almost like they all got the same memo and they're all,
Well, they do get the same memo. That's the frightening part of this. So we should have the ability to have independent thinking and see what a candidate says. I don't mind people asking it. But I, like you, would turn it back and say, I hope you're asking every candidate this question. Here's my personal opinion.
Right.
I would take it down, but I'm going to let South Carolina do it. I would encourage South Carolina. The president actually made a pretty clear and, I thought, reasonable statement. Put it in a museum.
I think so, too. You know, I think it belongs in a museum as well.
We shouldn't deny it happened.
I agree. And, you know, again, obviously there are certain states. Look, for instance, Mississippi. It's their state flag, right?
It's part of the state flag. It's up in the corner on the state flag. I think you'll see a move on that, again, concurrent with this.
You're going to see, this is going to be for a couple.
You know what it says to me, Edward? There's an opportunity to make money selling and making a new flag.
Oh, yeah, no question about
it. Let's let capitalism and the free market take over.
And I think you're also going to sell, they're going to sell a bunch of Confederate flags in the next.
Well, that's probably already going on.
Oh, yeah, that's going on. And then also, you know, of course, this is common that this comes out is that we've got to have common sense gun control.
I don't know if you saw the biggest story of the weekend on the Blaze, and it's the 12-year-old kid who took exception to the president going after that. And then you watch the service yesterday with Reverend Goff, who was just spectacular. And he even said, this is not the time to politicize this. Let us mourn and bury this family of nine that we lost, all the brothers and sisters from our church, and then we'll take on changes. But, so that's going to be an interesting debate going forward. That'll be the next gotcha question, too. It'll be about gun control. But I think they know where pretty much every member of the GOP group of candidates stands, except Ben Carson, who said some pretty kind of wonky things and crazy things about it.
Well, I don't think that you can go ahead and ban all guns tomorrow and try to take everybody's gun away tomorrow, and it's not going to matter. People are still going to be able to get guns. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, well, look at the countries where we had mass killings. The what was it, Norway, where we had that horrible
77 people.
Yeah.
And
it's awful.
Yeah.
And those are places where you can't get a gun.
Well, look at Chicago and D.C. Okay.
Yeah, if you're worried about guns, get them. And those like South Carolina, which has a really strict gun law,
right,
are places where more laws are not going to change the reality. I posted a tweet from Samuel Jackson after the Newtown shooting that talks about the fact that this is not about more gun laws. This is about hearts. This is about changing the hearts of the people out there.
I agree. And then you've got, I mean, because this guy was evil. He was evil and he was a psychopath. And we need to deal with that.
And let's remember, I know I said I don't want to talk about the gun situation. But, well, you know what? The church was a place that the state law prohibits anyone bringing a gun into the church. So unlike the pastor in Kissimmee, Florida last December, January, who had a concealed weapon and took out a bad guy who came into the church to kill people, this guy reloaded five times, Edward.
Yeah.
Five times. Somebody could have taken him out.
Yeah, if somebody had a gun, they could have taken him out. But that's an inconvenient truth right there.
There you go.
All right, Mike. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, buddy.
You got it, sir. Take care.
All right, thank you. Oh, I really am just exasperated by the level of evil and depravity on the part of this individual. I can't stress that enough. But are we a racist country? I really don't think we're a racist country. I think you've seen that people coming together, denouncing what happened, proves that we're not. We'll be right back. Sounds good, right? Wrong!
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
And now, an Ode to the Millennial.
Hey, Dad, what's for breakfast?
I'll tell you what's for breakfast. Time for you to get your own kitchen and make your own breakfast in your own home.
How would I do that?
You call the Elton Brothers. Here's their number.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318. Or email eltonbrothers@cox.net.
Does that mean I don't get breakfast?
I'll get you a home warranty instead from the Elton Brothers.
Thanks, Dad.
EltonBrothers.com with Realty One Group.
I've been talking with small business owners about hiring people, and they say, you know, I post my job somewhere, and I either get nothing, or I get a bunch of resumes, but they're not qualified. So how do I find qualified candidates? There doesn't seem to be an easy way to do this, but there's a new service that's making this process a lot easier for you. It's called ProJob Network. You just tell them who you need to hire, and they post your job opening on 40 different websites. It would take you forever to do that yourself. And then in about a day, maybe two depending on the type of job, you have a list of qualified local candidates that you can choose from. If you're hiring, I'm telling you, this is the way to do it. You'll save time, money, you'll find good employees. These guys are doing a one-week free trial right now. You can get your jobs posted, start getting some qualified candidates. It's completely free, no obligation. So to get your free trial, just go to postmyjobforfree.com, postmyjobforfree.com. Again, that's postmyjobforfree.com.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Did you pick that, Steve? That was good.
Like that, huh?
Little Public Enemy. Ann Coulter was on with Bill Maher, man. This was hilarious. Listen to this.
General election.
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump. I especially like.
Well, what about of all of them? I mean, is Scott Walker.
Fake laughter from the audience.
Scott Walker, would you say?
Of the ones who aren't declared, no, I'm. Romney Walker is my ticket.
Romney Walker. See, but.
So Ann Coulter thinks that Donald Trump is the GOP's best bet. And the crowd, of course.
Well, consider the crowd, you know, who did they go to hear?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. Did you hear, by the way, did you hear Brian Williams in his interview? He's on his... apology tour. I don't know if you heard Brian Williams. So.
No, I didn't, but I did get a kick out of a headline I read earlier this morning that said, imagine Brian Williams on MSNBC tossing it back to Al Sharpton.
Right, or Melissa Harris Perry. Nice earrings. I want you to listen to some of this, the Brian Williams. First of all, he doesn't acknowledge that he did anything, which is the most amazing thing to me. He just kind of dances around the topic. And this is the thing too. If he's not credible for NBC, why is he credible for MSNBC? Right?
I think that says a lot.
Really? It doesn't make any sense. But here is Brian Williams.
You went on Nightly News, and you recounted a story about a military veteran who played a role in a harrowing chopper ride you took while covering the Iraqi War. And you told this story. You had told some versions of it in the past in other venues. Did you know it was not true?
Listen.
I told the story correctly for years before I told it incorrectly. I wasn't to mislead people. That, to me, is a huge difference here.
Oh, yeah.
After that incident, I tried and failed, as others have tried and failed. And why is it when we're trying to say, I'm sorry, that we can't come out and say, I'm sorry?
But wait, so you say, what? I was not trying to mislead people, but I need to make sure we understand each other here. Did you know when you went on Nightly News that you were telling a story that was not true?
No.
It came from a bad place. It came from a sloppy choice of words. I told stories that were not true over the years. Looking back, it is very clear I never intended to. It got mixed up. It got turned around in my mind.
What?
He never intended for the stories.
I came from a bad place. It came from a bad place.
So to me, that says what he's stating is white lies are okay. The whoppers, no, but white lies are okay. I'm sorry, a lie is a lie is a lie.
It came from a bad place, and I never.
You know who's got more credibility than him? Rachel Dolezal. Okay, at least she's like, yeah, I'm black. He can't even admit that he lied. I would have more respect for him if he gets up there and he goes, you know what? I lied. I'm sorry. I lied. I did it because, you know, I lied. Period. I'm sorry. I lied. He's in the news business. He's in the credibility business. And I think, frankly, it's worse for NBC to put him on MSNBC. Okay? Instead of just getting rid of him, now they're going to have him like hanging around at MSNBC. It makes NBC look really, really bad. Because now he's still there. He's still, you know, you can still see him. He's still hanging around. Instead of just cutting it out, paying him off, having him go away, but they're still going to have him on MSNBC. He's going to report breaking news on MSNBC. He's going to be the breaking news guy on MSNBC. With, Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz and Chris Matthews and Al Sharpton and all these other clowns. Talk about a clown car. MSNBC is a clown car. But again, all this does is reinforce the notion that NBC is a joke. They're not credible as a news organization because they should have just gotten rid of them. I don't understand why they didn't get rid of them. There must be something I'm not getting because they're going to keep them around. They're going to put them on MSNBC. And what kills me again is that, you know, he's not good enough for NBC because he's lost credibility at NBC. But you're going to put him on MSNBC. All that does is...
Who has no credibility.
It just reinforces the notion that MSNBC is not credible. That's all that does. He's not credible for the news, but we're going to put him on MSNBC. Therefore, it's just telling the viewers of MSNBC what you think of them. Well, he's okay for you guys. But not for us over here, because we're the credible department, but we're going to put them over at the, you know, the clown car department. And again, it just looks bad for NBC overall. I don't make these decisions. I just report them. All right, we're out of time for the day. Check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. Also, if you want to hear the podcast or today's show, go to woodsonarchive.com and follow me on Twitter at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
And the precinct captain for our truth squad in Cleveland, here's NBC's Brian Williams for us now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever. Hi, this is Ken from the Right Side of the Trade. Let's have an adult conversation. Most people still have not achieved their financial goals. Have you? Learn how to get what you really want at one of Online Trading Academy's market timing workshops. We can teach you a proven method for trading any market like a pro. Call 480-634-2301. Mention the Right Side of the Trade and get two free tickets to an upcoming market timing workshop. Call 480-634-2301 now.
From the realms of Australia, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy, the hottest planet to date. The hottest planet is now located in the constellation of Hercules, located some 279 light years from the Earth. This object, recently discovered, is officially known as HD 149.